Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is your girl Adar, and you're listening to the Digital Sisterhood podcast. Last week, we had fire smashing conversations with a bunch of us from behind the scenes. It got cut off, so the conversation, inshallah, continues. This is part two.
Back in 2020, and I said, I had graduated that year, and Adar just said, you know, may Allah bless you in all your endeavors. And I responded back to her, and I said, you know, I said, just so you know, we're rooting for you too, Adar. And I know that post-graduation, you're going to do incredible things that will touch people's lives. Like, verbatim, I wrote that. Wow. I said, may Allah make you successful and great, sis. And I believe Allah is going to answer that to come.
You know that moment where, like, Adar was also stressed about, like, you know, her life? And she shared that with me.
Yeah, I did.
You had the nice reaction. To me, I was just like, how is the CEO of our company saying she's... Because she said, I'm unemployed. That's what she said. I said, how is the CEO of an entire owner of an entire company saying she's unemployed? What is going on? You know, I let you have your moment because I knew you just wanted to say it out loud. It wasn't like something that you, a lot of times when you're stressed, like you just say things that you want to get off your chest. But I feel like Adar a lot of times knows the answers because she gives me those answers when I'm feeling it. So, but then I was like walking around, I was like, yeah, Allah, just help us. You know what's crazy also? One of my favorite things is that I'm not in the studio with you, so I can't really give you notes or things like that when you're interviewing. So we do two styles. We do our first interview with the guest is just a conversation just like this one that Adar has with the person, and they just naturally tell us the story, and then after that we go into the studio after we listen to what we have recorded, and we kind of do a narration version of it, right? So a lot of times when you're interviewing, I hate to cut in and hate to like cut the flow of a conversation. So literally I would sit there, Adar, and I would say, ya Allah, let her ask about this, and then, or I'll be like, "Ya Allah, let her say something about the time we're kind of running out." Literally, in like a minute or two, that's literally what you would do.
Wow.
Without me having to like,
really?
Wallahi, billah, it has happened multiple times to the point where I was like,
"You never said nothing."
I think it was meant for this episode. I don't know. You know, I was just like, subhanAllah, because it's like, you know, when you're directing or you're producing, there's things that you're worrying about. Sometimes people are too into the story that they lose track of things. But then I'll just make that dua and subhanAllah, you would pivot. And I would be like, that is one of the most like beautiful manifestations of like when Allah says, ask me and he will answer.
That's crazy. Yeah. You know, it's funny, just for context, I'm in Toronto. Mona is in Egypt, but for a big part, she was also in Minnesota. And how the studio set up is that so Mona and I were like, okay, let's do a podcast. So she's like, I'll find a studio in Toronto, which I thought was crazy because how a girl from Minnesota finding a podcast studio in Toronto, but she found one that was 18 minutes from my house because you asked me, where do you live? Because you didn't want it to be somewhere far from me. And I was like, when I showed up to the place, I was scared. Because I saw a white man with really long hair. He looked like he was like a member of the Foo Foo Fighters. And I said, he's going to see a bunch of niqabis. And he's going to tell me, hell no. You know, I was scared. I was like, oh my God. And that day I came with a gang of niqabis. And he's probably thinking, this is, are we in Saudi Arabia? Like, what is going on? And so we came in there. He just looked at me. Are you Adar? I said, yep. He's like, okay, come with me. I'm cringing. His studio is beautiful, by the way. I didn't know much about him. And then I hear Muna, like he has this beautiful setup. And then I hear Muna speaking from his speakers. So Muna is connecting through Zoom. And she's talking to me and Jonathan. And then her, like we're all three talking to each other as if Muna is in the room. Right? And then he sets me up. He puts in the headphones on my head. He adjusts it. And I can hear Muna in my ear. Like, you know, literally in my ear, and we're talking to each other. So whenever I'm interviewing, I can hear Muna adding notes. She'll tell us to pause, or sometimes she won't say nothing at all, you know? And I always assume that's a cue of you're doing good. Keep going. You know, that's always our rhythm. Or sometimes I'll pause and say, hey, Muna, do you have any questions? And so Muna plays like a director in the studio, like, you know, and there's times where even on top of that, she ends up being like my vocal coach. She'll be like, okay, say it with enthusiasm, you know, especially when we're doing narrations. Sometimes I'll get a little jumbled in my head. Like my brain is like running 500 miles an hour and she'll just slow it down. She'd say, listen, say it like how you say it, you know, like say it how you tell stories. And she'll tell me, she'll stop, like, it doesn't sound like you. Or like she'll say, can you say it in this sentence frame? Or she'll, you know, one is literally a filmmaker audio. You know, like if there was a filmmaker that was doing an audio, I was an actor and she was the woman making the stories piece it together. So as much as somebody might be at awe of like how I'm storytelling, imagine the person putting the story together who sees the beginning, middle and end at all times. And I find that so miraculous because I can't see what's coming, but it's as if Mona can see it coming, what's going to come and already how it's going to be part together. And so it's almost like we're an instrument, and although we don't listen to music, but it's like a melody of different sounds blending together and bringing this beautiful sound, you know, and each instrument is bringing a unique thing to it that makes it such a huge, you know, and I feel like we're all like that. And so, yeah, and that's how Muna produces the episode from all the way where she is. And you have to imagine, like, Muna moved to Egypt. You moved to Egypt midway.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah.
No. Can we talk about that for a second? Because what I find so incredible about that is the first episode I actually stepped into in terms of the studio with Jonathan and with Adar was Hilal's.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at that point, Adar was doing the third re-recording of that episode. And on the way to the studio, we were talking in the car and Hilal was saying, like, I didn't want to say this, I didn't want to say that, like, I didn't like the way that I phrased this at this first point. And her and Adar were talking about, like, what's your story, what's your narrative, right? And I sat down with Hilal and I was saying, like tell me the story, because I feel like this happens to all of us. We hear parts of people's stories in real life and we think we know the whole story, right? And I feel like because Hilal is so well known in our community, a lot of us had heard bits and pieces of Hilal's story, but we've never really heard it from Hilal directly, except
to beginning and end.
To beginning and end, except for her most close and private friends, like Adar was. And so I had that experience with them in the car, and we said, like, oh no. And Hilal was saying, like, oh, there's this part of my life, and there's that part of my life, and there's this part of my journey. I was saying, like, oh, Hilal, focus on that, highlight that. Like, this is the part that leads to, like, you know, your the climax of the story, right? And we got into the studio and just so you guys know, like, these episode recordings are really experiences with the guest every single time. And they're so unique. And there's so much, like, lead up. There's so much, like, different things that happen, different experiences. And with Hilal's, what had happened was we got to the studio. Hilal had recorded. And Hilal and Adar, they didn't really feel confident about it. Mm-hmm. Like, we went out for dinner afterwards. They talked about it. They said, like, okay, you know what? Like, we can't do more than three recordings. Like, let's just put it out there. Let's see what happens, right? And like, yeah, they didn't. Like, they didn't.
You guys didn't feel confident?
The first recording.
Oh, okay.
But the third recording, I left there feeling $1 million.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it felt like just me and Hilal talking. That's how I knew it was good. I forgot where we were. I forgot that Jonathan's listening. I forgot Muna was there, and I forgot Safiya was there.
You guys
were
like, so in tune.
Yeah, it's like we were in the masala or in her home just talking privately. You know, and those are the private conversations that are lit. You know, like, those are the ones that, and we were having it publicly.
And I feel like that experience also taught Adar how to host.
It did.
Right? Because Hilal was our second episode?
Yeah, it was.
Our second episode. And so, like, that starting point of, like, a place of comfort and home for her was so important. And if you guys listen to the episode, you hear Adar and Hilal talking at the end, and they start mentioning Egypt, and they start saying, like, Adar mentions, like, I can't wait for the day that, like, I get to, like, roll up into the masjid and, like, go to the back and, like, see you do your work, Hilal, right? And that was a dream that was in Hilal's heart, and that was a dream that Adar had for her sister in her heart as well. And I think it's absolutely insane that somehow Muna ended up being Hilal's roommate in Egypt, right? That Muna's listening to this dream that Hilal has, and, like, Muna's this girl in Minnesota that Adar's just vibing with and trying to create a podcast about, right?
It's very intentional, though. It was kind of like when she talked about Egypt. I've always wanted to study the deen, you know. So, like, for me, when I have big dreams and I find people who are super passionate about the same dream, I like to just, like, like tie myself to them, basically, essentially. Like, they're moving like a like very fast, and I'm like, I'm just gonna go with you, you know. So when Hilal mentioned subhanAllah, when Hilal mentioned that, like, I got my black belt because my sister got my her black belt. Like,
oh, wow,
she was, yeah, she was, she started classes, and I was like, yo, I've always wanted to learn martial arts. I'm not gonna sit in the sidelines while you get your black belt. So I was like, I started doing it, and now I have my black belt. Same with memorization of the Quran. Yeah.
Multi-talented woman right there.
Yeah, mashallah. Yeah, mashallah.
Mashallah. That person, every month you find out she has a new talent.
No, but guess what?
Subhanallah.
You know, a plot twist. We actually had a car conversation the other day, and I looked at her and I said, I don't even know you.
Because guess so what? Mad.
I found out so random. I'm talking to her randomly, and she casually mentions that she skydived in San Diego. She, like, she jumped out of a plane. I thought, like, I knew this girl like the back of my hand, because we've been intimately talking for 9 months. She kind of said, yeah, I know, I jumped out of an airplane once. I just looked at her like, this is the car, but I said, do I even know you? Like, how are you? You had so many opportunities. Whoa, forget that. I even told her, there's a vibe check question called, what is the craziest thing you've done for fun? I was with you when I said that. Why didn't you say that? You know, I did something crazy once. You know, I jumped out of a plane in San Diego. No, she's quiet. Okay? And I said, no, are you a spy? I said, are you a spy? Is there something going on here? You know, and she's like, you know what? She's like, sometimes I don't realize my backstory. And then I realized, I'm like, you know what's crazy, Mona? I think I live in the past, and I think you live in the present.
I really do.
And we talk in that way. You know, I'm always talking about, you know, I used to, because to be honest, storytellers are people that go backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it makes sense why I live backwards, but you always live forwards. And I just was like, that's why it's funny to me. You know,
best love story ever told. you gotta really compliment each other.
But it's I mean, I'm always so curious. I'm like, damn, I really don't know this girl. Today she's gonna tell me something else too. I'm just ready.
I really forget. Like, I like, I, you guys mention it to me, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I did that. Like, it's, I'm so in the moment of like what I'm doing that I kind of forget what I did in the past, and like people kind of mention it to me. But honestly, what was I talking about?
Hilal.
We were talking about
how
Hilal.
Did you become her roommate?
We were talking about Hilal. Okay, so then literally after I finished producing Hilal's episode, I posted it. And then I called her. I always call guests or message them and just to kind of see how they've seen the episode or how they like their story to be told. Because honestly, they're the most important person to me. How they felt about the episode is what's most important. Like, did I really represent their story well? You know, how did they feel about it? SubhanAllah, alhamdulillah, we've had everybody give good reviews, you know. So Hilal, I actually called her and I was like, yo, you're about to be my Quran buddy. That's literally what I told her. I was like, you and me are a squad. Like, I know you, me and Adara are doing TDS together, but you and me are going to become a squad. And she said, yeah, of course, you know, because I've always learned the Quran, you know, I've memorized the Quran. And my sister was actually the one who actually, she started Duxi and she was memorizing the Quran. I was like, you're not going to leave me behind. I'm gonna join with you.
Yeah.
And then I ended up memorizing the Quran, subhanAllah. But I left it, you know? It naturally happens sometimes. Like, I didn't feel connected. It wasn't part of my routine. I felt like somebody else was making my routine for me, and I was just showing up, you know? It wasn't something, I wasn't taught how to implement continuing the Quran in my life or the deen in my life. So even though I was surrounded by the deen, it never was something that was initiated by me. You know what I'm saying? So then after I became a college student, when you are in this space of like, that's very devoid of God, and a lot of times you have all these expectations of yourself, and expect other people have expectations of you, and you're giving money and you're giving all of this, you start to kind of feel this I know the Arabic word, I don't know what the English word. This tightness, that's the word. This tightness in your heart and this tightness in your life as you see how much is expected of you. And I feel like I felt that so much that it forced me to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. And then I would listen to other people from other religions talk about faith and God as if like they believed in it. Like, I don't know why, but I walked like around thinking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a concept, you know. Oh yes, there's Allah, but I didn't think of it. There is Allah. He's your companion. He's the one who helps you when you need help. Like, say you don't have food for money, or like somebody's bothering you. Or like, you turn to him and you ask him. Like, I didn't think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as an actual, you know, something that I walk with. So when it came to things are my dreams. You know, I always, when I see people are very passionate about it and they're doing all the actions, I'm like, I'm just going to follow what you're doing. I love the companionship and I'm just going to do it. So when Hilal said that and I called her and I talked to her about Quran Buddy, I thought about, yo, why don't I go with her to Egypt? I really sat down. And I was like, I really don't want Hilal to be in Egypt finishing Quran without me. Like, I was like, I want to be there too.
Yeah. And that's how most of the listeners felt, right? After listening to her episode, you're like, so she's like, going somewhere. She's going.
I said, no, we're not going to do it. So I called her, asked her, when are you planning to go? She said, oh, around the end of the year. And I was like, okay.
That's all you said, by the way. You didn't tell nobody about your plans. You said nothing.
True, even, even my friends were shocked. You know, they're like, what? Because I decided in August and I left in September.
Yeah. The end of August, by the way.
Yeah, I left at the end of August. It was beginning of September. It was, I was doing, obviously we were doing TDS, but I was getting my black belt testing end of August. And then also my sister's exhibit was at the end of August. And then I was trying to plan my life for the rest, like after September. And I just couldn't see anything. Like, I don't know. I would try to figure out what I could do in Minnesota. Or like what my vision was. And it was just blank. Like I couldn't think about it. I couldn't see anything. And then I was like, one day I was like, wait, it's just the perfect time to leave. That's literally what I thought. I was like, it's the perfect time to start somewhere new.
To make a run for it.
To just, yeah. If you have no plans for anything else, I was like, why would you fill your life with something else?
Yeah.
And I just made the decision. And then I one of the things I was really worried about was my mom. Mm. You know, you worried about supporting your mom. And like, because I was like, I'm not going to have like income. But inshallah, with TDS, we're going to have income.
Inshallah.
But I was like, I'm not going to have a straightforward income. So one of the things I always used to stop myself from to go and study the deen was to not have my parents, not have me rely on my parents. You know what I'm saying? So asking my mom for money, it just felt, you know, it felt like I was disappointing. I was, you know, doing something completely wrong if I was to ask Hoya for money. And this is what she said to me. I'm learning how to communicate because I don't like talk a lot. So I used to think a lot. So I was like, let me just try to talk to her about this that I'm worried about. So I just casually mentioned, I was like, oh, yeah, if I were to go, you know, study Dean somewhere else, because she always tells me go study, but I never like wanted to put myself in that position where she has to support me. So she was like, go study, and I was like, one day I told her, Hoya, I want to go study, but I feel like I'm gonna burden you with money. Like, I don't want you working and me studying. And then she was like, Subhanallah. My mom was like, Subhanallah, what are you talking about? And she said, go. If you go, you are giving me income and money for my akhirah.
Subhanallah.
Which is what matters more. Mm. You know what I mean? And I was like, I was so worried about being a burden here that it never even occurred to me about my akhirah. My mom, subhanallah, has been one of the biggest, she's always taken care of us in the sense of like, everywhere we've lived in multiple countries, and we've lived in Syria, Emirat, you know, United States, you know, everywhere we went, she made sure we were in an Islamic school. Like, she's the one who taught us how to read and write. So she was a huge part of the deen, and she always reminds us of it. And I don't know, somehow, you know, the shaitan always takes you places. You start to forget the important things and things like that. So when she said that to me, I felt like a huge relief, and I felt like, I was like, okay, Hoya, then I want to go to Egypt. I want to go study Egypt. Wow, okay. That afternoon, we went to the ticket store.
No, she didn't.
Wow. We went to the ticket place, cut my ticket. My mom is crazier than me. You guys think I'm spontaneous? My mom is crazier than me.
I love that.
So, subhanAllah, that's like the story of me in Egypt. And meeting Hilal is kind of cool. Hilal actually has a really cute personality.
Yeah.
She sounds serious on the podcast, but she's actually very funny and cute. And alhamdulillah that I get to be a part of the digital sisterhood in that way. We get to be friends that are united, and we talk about the deen. And we were able, subhanAllah, my goal is, I'm going to promise this now. We're starting a podcast. I'm going to start a podcast with Hilal. Well, and it's going to be about the stories of the Quran and Ahlul Quran.
Inshallah. Produced by Beautiful Light Studios.
Inshallah. So that's something people can look forward to.
Inshallah. Now you got to keep that promise. You said it.
We're looking forward to it.
80,000 people heard you.
On the spot. Definitely. Yep. For sure. For sure,
you know, there's something about saying it out loud.
Yes.
In the first episode, what did I say at the end?
What did you say?
I had made an intention on the mic. I said, I want this podcast to reach everyone, and I want it to be a source of relief. Like, as I said, and that was my pursuit. And I remember Sophia or somebody else reminded me, or was it a TDS, like, family member who messaged and said, Adar, do you remember? Oh, it was. She said, do you remember your first episode? I said, kinda. I never really listened to it again. She said, you made a promise at the end. And she goes, Adar, I don't know if you noticed, but you fulfilled that promise. And I was like, I have to go back.
Yeah.
So whatever promise I made. And I listened to it and I literally started crying. Because you know why? I said I wanted to be a source of relief, you know, and I wanted to help people. And she was saying that it helped me. So your promise came true. And I was like, there's something about stating your intention on here. And then going for, and then subhanAllah, looking back. Because that's one of the mercies of Allah, right?
And we make so much dua for each other on here.
Always.
The fans.
We run on dua.
Our sisters.
There's nothing else we run
dua on. Dua and vibes.
That's the most expensive currency. That's our most expensive currency. I swear to God.
Truly.
It's the dua.
Duas people have been sending in. Oh my
God. It's intense sometimes.
SubhanAllah.
Sometimes they're really long.
SubhanAllah.
And I don't even know what to say. Just, but I mean, I don't know. Like, you know, I couldn't even say it better. I always say, may Allah give you that and more. That's all I could say, you know? But, you know, and so I'm glad that you said it. So when it does happen, maybe another TDS member will tell you, hey, Mona, remember when you made that promise? You kept it and it happened.
And I think that's really been the running theme of TDS all this time, is how much can we take our digital sisterhood and change our lives together? And do it together, no matter where we are in the world, no matter where we're at in our journey with Islam, no matter what we're doing, how old we are, what our circumstances, our trials are. We've seen that time and time and time again, right? Online, in real life, that TDS has really been able to do that. And the next season and the next year, we're just going to do that more and more, inshallah, with the support of Allah.
Inshallah.
And that's our hope.
It's the healing. It really is the healing. That word itself. So many people have come up to us and said that just listening to a story from somebody has been a healing experience. And to me, like, you know, there's some stories that you have been searching for. You want to hear that you're not alone.
That you have a sister.
And subhanAllah, like the feeling that you get when you hear somebody else saying that to you is incredible. And I think that's really the key part of your dua.
We're going to heal sisterhood together, inshallah.
It's funny because we're healing sisterhood and we're healing each other. Because our stories, 100%. It's crazy because our stories are connected. Mona is with Ijab al-Hilal studying Quran so she can benefit the community back. Sophia is feeling like she's facilitating something that she's always wanted to be a part of from the beginning. I'm here living the dua I made a year ago. Simba is fulfilling a dua she made a year ago. And here we are like a bus running. You know, and everybody has, and we all recognize that Allah is the driver's seat.
Allah has been fueling us.
Yeah, we're in the passenger seat, looking at the windows of where we're headed. We're like, where are we going this time? You know, where do you think He's taking us this time, subhanAllah? And every time we're so surprised and so grateful. I can only imagine what Allah has planned for us forward, and for not even us, but has what Allah has planned for our TDS listeners. They're growing too.
Yes.
You know what's crazy? So many of them have started the Quran journeys. So many of them have, like,
put on hijab.
We're going to talk about
hijab.
That
okay, after Maghrib. Barakallah.
During this short break, I'd like to remind you that season 2 is currently in production. And without you, the listener, we don't have any stories. So if you feel like you have a story that is impactful, that will remind people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bring them closer, that is a great point of reflection or change or growth. One that you want to leave as a sadaqah jariyah for you, a never-ending charity for you, please contact us and send us an email at tdsisterhoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's tdsisterhoodpodcast@gmail.com.
So, although there's four of us here in the studio right now, right? It's Mona, Sema, me, and Sophia. There's also Hanan and Lena Ahmed and Asha and Chanel and all these people that played in different moments.
Sada.
Yeah, and Sada, Sarah Farah, who was in different moments throughout this entire process. But it's funny because as Muna was saying, the very first episode we ever recorded in March, it was in March, I remember, was Lena Ahmed's story, which is the episode Pretty Is Pretty Does. And it's funny because although she's a guest, she's also a team member of TDS. And it's interesting too because she's also an author who wrote the book that so many TDS listeners have, Beauty Fiti Bila, as well as Custodians of the Dunya, which Sima did the cover art for her second book, which is also very interesting how we're all integrated in our lives.
Your resume is just insane.
A product designer, graphic designer, artist, well as a book cover artist.
Cover designer.
Sima does everything.
Allahumma barik
me. Allah preserve
me. I'm sorry. If you guys are not hitting her up by the end of this, I don't know.
I don't know what they're doing.
I don't know.
Because she does everything. She's a jack of trades and master of all. True. Have you ever heard of that?
With a personality.
With the personality. Ooh. Oh, no.
No, now you guys hype me up. Thank you.
I don't say no at all.
Wallahi, mashallah, tabarakallah. So it's interesting because I met Lena Ahmed. And by the way, Lena Ahmed is her penmanship name. It's not her real name. And she wants to keep, obviously, an alias for a reason because she has a reason. And one day she'll share why she separates her real identity from her author identity. But I had met her. We kind of been like internet friends for a long time, like maybe a year, but we weren't too like active. Like it was basically in 2020, a sister. Now that I think about it, I'm telling you stories. I'm kind of a weirdo, eh? Lena Ahmed messaged me and I didn't know her. She lived in Ottawa, I remember.
Yeah.
And she messaged me. She said, "Hey, I'm leading a book club of Yasmeen Mujahid's book. Can you lead the discussion with me?" I've never met her, yeah. I don't know her. I never met her. I think we may have followed each other or maybe she followed me. I don't remember. But I said, yeah, why not? Every day I say, yeah, why not? I never say no to anybody. I think today if everybody DMs me, I might just say yes to everybody. But Lena messaged me and I said, sure. Tell me what chapters. I got it. She's like, you do chapter 10. I'll do chapter 9. So I got the book, I read it, and then we didn't even rehearse. We just came to the book club. She read her portion, I read my portion. And at the end of it, she just said to me, "Jazakallah khair, Hadi, you're so cool. I cannot believe you did this with me. You don't even know me." Like, you know, she was like, "What?" And I was like, "No, girl, I think it's dope. I've always wanted to read the book, and why not? It's beneficial. Why am I going to say no to benefit, you know?" And so after that, I followed her back. We had each other's numbers, right? We just spoke briefly. And then a year had passed. And then I had found out that basically we started to contact each other more. And we were on this app called Clubhouse. And she was on it. I know it's funny.
I remember you guys used to have rooms with just you two on Clubhouse.
Yeah, because she's like, you know, she told me she said, "Let's do a book club on Toni Morrison's book, The Bluest Eye." And I told her that book changed my life in high school. And explained to me my blackness. And she resonated with that. So she's like, "Let's do a little book club room with just two of us." I said, "Sure." You know, and one day we were just chatting it up, you know. And I didn't know who she was. Like, really, I didn't know what she did, how she lived, anything. I didn't even know, barely knew her last name. And I remember there were people in our room who knew her from somewhere. And they were like so happy to be in the room with her.
Arabic class.
Which was
also a book club.
Also another book club, which I didn't know, right? I don't know Lena's resume. I don't know her. I just know a girl I vibed with that I did a book club with a year ago.
Yeah.
So she's like talking and there's people in the audience just listening to her. And they're here for her. I'm confused. And I'm like, I asked somebody who knew her and I said, "Hey, who is this person? And why did everybody come for her?" She goes, "You don't know her?" I said, she's like, "How do you even know her, Adar?" I said, I know her from the internet. Like, you know, she's like, "Yo, she's an author. She's a writer. She is really dope and all of these things." And like people were a fan of her, you know? And I was like, "What's the book that she wrote?" Somebody sent me the PDF file. It's funny because like if you ask Lena Ahmed, I had messaged her in the DMs talking about, "Hey, you know, how are you?"
Adar, you're forgetting parts of the story.
I know. See, everyone says that to me.
Where did you see her book for the first time?
I saw it on oh yeah. She had tweeted, Sophia had tweeted, because Sophia is a tweeter and a writer.
And this was an IG story.
It was an IG story. And Sophia was recommending the book to the people that followed her on Instagram. And Sophia had wrote a synopsis and then took a picture of the back and the front of the book. And I loved it. I said, "Who wrote this book?" And then Sophia said to me, "Who do you think wrote this book?" I said, "I don't know this person." She goes, "No, you know this person." And then the book's author says Lena Ahmed. So she's like, told me her real name. She goes, "The girl I did the book club with wrote this book?" You're out of your mind. And she goes, yeah, she did. And I was shocked. I said, how does this girl who writes so incredible, right? I only read like 3 pages. How come nobody knew her? I was so confused. And she was so young. I was like, how did nobody know her? And then I didn't even talk to her properly. What I did was I took a screenshot of the of Sophia's story. Okay. I asked Sophia to take pictures of the front and back. She took it. I posted all over my Instagram and TDS. And I said, if y'all do not read this book, you are out of your mind. This book is transformative. It's inspiring. It's written by a girl, okay, in Ottawa, okay, who is so insightful and this, that, and the third. And I said, everybody got to buy it.
And the book is beautiful.
It's beautiful. Like, truly. You know, anybody that wrote the book, Beauty, Feast, Beauty, especially, attest to it. You would think this person, like, when I read the book, I just could not, like, she was just so, she's incredible. So when I put it on blast, I went to bed that night. I woke up the next day, it was sold out.
And that's how Beauty Feast Bilala became our first product.
And that story nobody could happened, get it anymore. Yeah, that story happened like maybe a week or two right before we started talking about doing a podcast.
Nah.
All of this connects.
Yeah, all of this connecting, right? All of these things
exactly
are.
Why she was our first guest idea. Like,
yeah.
I remember vividly seeing that story. I'm like, okay, I'm going to grab it. And then I look at the link and it sold out. I said, and I see a lot of people messaging either too. They're like, oh, it sold out. Where can I get it? So I'm glad that was our first product.
Somebody said to me from Australia, who are you, Adar? And why is it sold out in 2 seconds, bro? Like, we just saw this today, and I'm a day before you. So like, we're here a day before you, and it's already sold out. And I was confused. I said, where did these people come from? Well, Allah sent them, because clearly she wrote that book a while ago, by the way. She didn't write the same 2017. Year. 2017. And it was only in 2020 that it blew up, okay? Qadr Allah, sometimes, and this is a good reminder to my listeners about, sometimes you might do something, and you might think, oh, nothing is going to come of it. And you have no idea what Allah has planned for it. So when I remember Lena was shocked. She's like, Adar, you don't even know me. And you took it upon yourself to blast it. I said, listen, it's not even about you. You wrote something completely incredible about Allah. You know, and it was so beautifully done. And you did it. Like, I'd never seen an author just chilling, you know, like with the same background. In my head, like, publishing is a white community. You know, like, publishing is a white industry. So to see her, not only that as a black Muslim woman, but writing about Allah and writing in such a beautiful manner and doing it anyways, even if nobody read it, she didn't care. She read it. She wrote it for herself.
Yeah.
And it was so beautifully done. I was like, everybody deserves to know it. And after that, I told Lena, I said, you know, listen, I know this is like, you know, I don't want to corner you or anything like that, but can you be part of like what I'm doing? She goes, whatever you say, Adar, I'm there. I'm posted. And Sipi already knew her and stuff like that. And that's how Lena joined TDS. And now until today, like, her book was the first thing we ever launched under TDS. And when I tell you, like, and I think Lena would agree to this, is that I don't think she knew how much you would give her. You know, like, it has literally, we had the, out of all of our products, we don't have too much, but out of all the products, Lena Ahmed's book is the most sold and most money. Like, most money made was Lena's book.
And can I say, I believe out of all the products, it's the most authentic to our vision.
Mm-hmm. Truly.
Really,
truly.
Really, really.
I was transformed by that book, to be honest. I was, and I love that it's a short book. Mm-hmm. It's not long. It's a, like,
so I keep telling her she has to make a second version that's longer. Keep saying
that. I know. I like that it was short. Like, yeah. you guys are book readers. But like, for me, I really loved the way she explains things, and it's very thought through. It's like, you know, it's like someone who did like a paradigm shift to like every conversation. Like, they flipped the entire conversation, whereas there's so much propaganda that's thrown on us, like in the West, of what to believe and how to define things and what's right. And I felt like reading her book, the concepts of beauty and what is beautiful and everything was flipped on his head into the proper. It was like our whole life we're looking at something upside down, and then she comes through with this book and just kind of flips it upright. She just switches it just a little bit, and you're like, oh, wow.
I never saw it that way.
That's how amazing that book was.
Yeah, especially when she uses a parallel about the sky.
Yeah.
No, and every parallel, I was shook.
Every single chapter in that book is
about how the Prophet
written so beautifully.
Is a manifestation
with
of
so
beauty.
Much care.
Yes.
And how that's our role model. That's our basis for beauty.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. The Prophet was a manifestation of beauty. And even that, she used ayahs in Hadith in the Quran to prove what she was saying.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I was just like, and I looked at her, I said, you remind me of great scholars that used to write books after books, sometimes in jail. you know, sometimes, you know, and like some of them, and there's so much more, you know, scholars that didn't, nobody knows, you know, like they just wrote, you know, these are people that have to, they have a talent. Allah has given everybody a gift and it's important to use your gift. And I'm just so proud of Lena because she uses her gift, you know, like everybody literally has a gift. It's not to say, oh, every, these people are unique. Nobody's really unique. Everybody has a gift. Whether you access it or not, it's there. And it's, and the question remains, are you going to use it for Allah's sake? And so Lena using her gift for Allah's sake is totally TDS's brand, you know, because we're all using our gifts that Allah has given us, bestowed us for good, you know. And I think that's the real testament of life. So when, and every day I'm so proud, every time I see Lena gets money, I'm like, look at TDS paying for a black woman's stuff. Like, it's just, it's lit. It's, to me, it's so incredible that I, like, TDS could be part of funding women, you know, for the great work they do that's faith-based. So that's kind of like a dope thing that like TDS has done thus far. But anyways, there's also Hanan, which we've sprinkled about over the episode. But Hanan is like,
Hanan's just cool.
Yo,
Hanan,
I don't know.
I want her life. Like,
Allahumma barik. I'm hurt right now somehow that I've met Wasim and Wuna in real life before Hanan.
Yeah.
Hanan lives in Toronto.
And you, she lives in
Toronto. I have to rectify this.
She doesn't actually live in Toronto. She's visiting Toronto. Toronto, yeah. She actually lives in Saudi Arabia. You know, mashallah. She lives 20 minutes away from the Haram. You know, and I remember like she, Hanan was that, and I don't mean to bring her back because I know she's a very private person, but mashallah, she was always a person that had a particular vision. She's always wanted to live in a Muslim country and that she wanted to go for the things that she wanted. Mashallah, she did it. She's that person. She's very tunnel vision. Like, I'm going to live here. I'm going to live like this. I'm going to raise my kids like this. And, you know, and she's doing it every day. And the crazy part is that her lifestyle, she doesn't use it to just gatekeep. She's forever giving us da'wah to move there. Come on, Adar and Muna and everybody. You guys can move to Saudi Arabia. We can make a Saudi Arabia. Like, we can do digital steward over there. We can find great stories over there. And she's a jack of all trades, bro. She does so much. And she says it so casually. Yeah, I did that before. Yeah, I did that. Like, she was
She introduces herself. Hi, my name is Han.
Yeah.
Like, one time I was asking her, because actually I was contemplating going to teach in Saudi Arabia. Moving there before I decided Egypt. I told her, yo, can you send me your resume? I want to like kind of know how I should say it. Bro, this girl's insane.
Allahumma barik, that's all.
Allahumma barik, Allahumma barik. She's done like, so much.
I was like, you, who is this person? You know what I mean?
She's very humble. Very humble. You would, I mean, you would have never known. But the crazy thing about Hanan and part of TDS is that when I started Digital Sisterhood, it was in the summer of my birthday is when I launched. But I didn't say that from August 11 up until December. I actually did nothing for TDS. Actually, this is when I stopped contacting Sima and I went on a hiatus for 4 months. Now, if you remember Muna Mills' episode, A Year of Sorrow, I had a year of 4 months of sorrow. I was going through something really personal at the time and I just felt really sad. It was just weird. Now that I think about it, it could have been seasonal depression, but there was a time where I stopped everything and I just, I hated where I was in life. I hated what I was doing. I didn't like what I was like, and I just felt so uninspired and isolated. And I remember I just stopped using social media, stopped posting, I stopped doing everything. Like, and Simba can attest to this, I disappeared, you know, and I was in this really dark place, which I don't think a lot of people noticed. But somebody I had spoken, you know, that I known over the years, but I hadn't spoken to consistently, calls me one day from Saudi Arabia. And Hanan calls me, and I hadn't spoken to her in a year at that point. And she says to me, Adar, assalamu alaikum. I said, alaikum salam. And she's like, where are you? What happened to you? And I said, what do you mean? She goes, I feel like something's wrong. And I said, where did you get that from? She goes, I can just tell. Like, you're not on social media. You're not doing nothing. I think there's something wrong. What's wrong? Tell me what's wrong. And I was like, I started crying. Just as soon as she said, what's wrong? Bah! I just started sajabbing in my room. And she's just looking at me. She goes, just talk to me. Breathe. Like, just talk to me. I know something's wrong. And I basically explained to her what I could explain is that I felt this intense sadness about like where I was, but I didn't know where, like all of these, and I was focusing on the wrong things. And she just kept saying, I understand you. And I remember she even sent me a hadith. I forget which hadith it was, but basically she said, Adar, this is a part of life. It's normal. Don't like think that you're going to be in this really dark place forever. Can I give you one advice? And I said, yes, please. Any advice? She said, whatever happened to TDS? And I said, I stopped working on it because I don't know where I'm going with it. I don't understand what I'm doing. And I feel lost and I feel all these things. And she says, go back to it. you were doing something really incredible. And then she started just affirming. She's like, you have an extraordinary vision. She goes, out of all the people, because this is how Haddad, like, Toronto's like a dark, she's like, Gotham City, Toronto's like, you know, she left the prison cells of Toronto City, right? So she's like, out of everyone in Toronto, she's like, I believe you are going to do something in your life. Everyone I know something special is happening for you, but I need you to see it for yourself. And I was like, but I'm just by myself. I'll help. She versus me, I'll help you. What do you want? I'll help you. No problem. And this is Hanan, you know? She's done so much. And she's talking about, I'll get you this, I'll get you that. Don't worry. Just every day, do a little bit. Right? Let's talk about your vision. Let's talk about, like, she, and I was, at that point, I had stopped talking to Simba. I was like, I don't know if Simba is still in the same place to help me. And, like, she's like, ask. Like, do you need to focus on TDS, bro? This is great work. And I think there's something there. And I just want to tell you, go there. Go that way. Forget about everything else. And if it wasn't for her call, I don't think I would, none of us would be here. You know, and Hanan, and then now, wallahi, she sends me messages every quarter when we do great things. Can you believe? This is what she says to me. Can you believe when the call I gave you and where you're at now? Allahu Akbar.
Has it even been a year?
No, it hasn't. Well, TDS has been a year. We celebrate our year anniversary. The phone call is actually December, or actually something at the end of November, maybe early December, end of November, actually, last week of November. So right now. Subhanallah. Wow. I just peeped right now. It was this time, because the first week of December is where I started working on TDS. I contacted Simma again, and I started, and then Muna reached out to me in January, and I contacted Sophia in March. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Like, this is where everything came together. Was that period. But it wasn't until Hanan spoke life to me and said to me, you can do this and I'll help you. And and she always says to me, Look at a small conversation, how Allah put the pieces together. And I just, that's such an important part of the story, because Hanan played that, like, revival. Like, okay, you know, like, for refocus. And I needed her to do that, or it would have never happened. But I think everything happened the way that Allah planned.
Alhamdulillah.
You know, and
truly
for that. What?
Who's the MVP of this?
God
Almighty.
If you're confused, Rabbil Alameen.
Rabbil Alameen.
Oh my God, that slogan is everywhere. Now I became like,
who knew Hilal was going to become an iconic?
You know, ironically, Hilal didn't come up with that slogan.
Who came
up? A sister named Yusra from Toronto.
Wow.
Came up with that slogan.
Yusra's forever coming up with the best one-liner.
She has the biggest, best personality ever. And I feel like I need to give her flowers, because that's her slogan that we all took.
There's so many sisters in Toronto who deserve a lot of flowers throughout this.
Absolutely. So even my personal friends, like my friends on the side, your friend, like it's all of these people, people gave me money. They said, here, Dick, remember we were looking for money for the episode?
Yeah.
You gotta shout them out like it's an Oprah show right
now. Oh my God, there's so many friends. Ismahan was one of them. Hilal played both frontal and she did it in her story.
Hilal drove so many of us to that studio.
You know what, every day.
I always say this, if Hilal, so for me, like as a producer, I want people to open up, but you can't force people to open up. You get what I'm saying? The stories need to be authentic and natural. And one of the things that always is amazing to me is how every single guest we've had on the podcast is a good storyteller. That is very, like, rare, you guys. This is not, like, very common, you know. Many times a lot of people have a good story, but they don't know how to tell it, you know. And subhanAllah, everybody was able to relax and be able to really tell the vulnerable sides of their story, to really open up about something they've kept to themselves for so long, you know. I always say Hilal gets the ajr for that, because it's like
she started the tone.
If she had not opened up, the reason we recorded three times was because the first time she told us our story, but she told us her Quran story, and she casually mentioned that she was divorced, and I was like, oh, this is very interesting. But then I had just met Hilal, and it was amazing. So then I was kind of contemplating about it and thinking about it, and then I don't know if I mentioned it to you or you mentioned it to me, but I remember thinking, subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, me and Adar think very similarly. This is one of the things I love. And so a lot of times I've seen that where you would say something and I'd be like, yo, I was just thinking that. And then I would say something. It's one of the beautiful things you wish you have when you're working together with someone. And so one of the things that we said, oh, I wish we could go more in depth in that. And you said, yeah, I feel like there was something missing from the story. Mm. And I was like, yeah. And then we were like, oh, let's just do it again. Let's just dig deeper. And we have, we could book more studio time. To me, it's less about money. It's more about the quality of the story that's told, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter how many times we have to re-record it. It doesn't matter how many times like we may hold on to a story. There's a couple stories that we're holding on to. If it wasn't for Hilal opening up about her story and going deeper, I don't think it would have been a safe space, because there's so many podcasts that are created where it's people having dialogue and people having conversations, but rarely do people go there, you know, talk about those things. And subhanAllah, I feel like a lot of times our episodes, each episode is speaking to somebody who has been, I think, talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's been asking for something. Mm. And the stories come to us. We rarely we ask a lot of times others, friends, but the type of story they're going to tell, we don't know. You know, it comes out, and it's, I think a lot of times there's a lot of people who were dealing with the stigma of divorce. Mm-hmm. I think that's why we've had a lot of divorcees in the beginning. We had like 4 or 5, you know.
People asked us if we were intentional about that.
No, subhanAllah. I always think it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we had people talking about pain, and it was divorce, and then it was pain, and then it was
grief.
And mental health. Like, it was such beautiful stories that it was like, and then it was love, you know. It was,
mm-hmm. Success.
Success and relationships.
And reflection.
Yeah. And then my question is, can you guys tell me a moment where you felt the manifestation of the sisterhood that we've been working on for so long? You know, we're called the Digital Sisterhood. What's the moment like you saw it and you felt it?
I think from doing the cover art, I really felt that from my own art, but it's a different feeling from the Digital Sisterhood, because it's real genuine stories. Like, again, how you said, how Hilal set the tone. And I think the other reason why people really love listening to the Digital Sisterhood is like, it's like having a conversation in private, but it's in public. Mm-hmm. And bringing a lot of these genuine discussions on mental health, pain, and love in such a caring way. And that's also the same thing that I wanted to do with art. So I got to see sisterhood in not just storytelling that way, but in art too. Because when I was talking to the guests, it's like, it's real conversations, like, okay, what do you have in mind? And like, how people react to that, or how people take in to what the episode is about just by looking at the art. So mm-hmm. I really felt that from the Digital Sisterhood, and I felt like people's responses to it is already like the result of what we're doing and why the name is the Digital Sisterhood. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. When was the time you felt that, Muna?
For me, subhanAllah, I first got glimpses of it when I did my sister's exhibit, and people would come up to me and they were like, oh, I listened to the sister. And it was like the first time that I started seeing people and meeting people. I was like, oh, wow, okay. But I think the biggest manifestation of it was the conference with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq.
That was insane.
Yeah, it was insane. Because there was after we did our panel, there's a lot of people who were like, oh, it's too short, we want to talk to you guys more. So we said, okay, let's just set up a Q&A thing. And let's just tell people to come to the Musalla. So then I was in the Musalla right before people started coming in. And then I went to grab something, and then I came back, and then I opened the door, and I just see this room. I don't even know how many people were in it. There was so many people in it, and it was just a tiny room, and everybody was sitting on the ground, and there was literally no place to stand.
There was no place, and they were all tight together. Everyone's tight together. Everyone's like chilling. Like,
oh my god,
this is what we're here for.
I was standing there. And I felt like there was hearts looking at me.
Yeah, I remember you said that
at that moment. I was like, wow. I still like think about it to this day. It's, subhanAllah.
It's interesting because I was gonna say that there's two moments where I knew. I felt the manifestation sisterhood was when, because as you said, Hilal's episode set the tone, right? Mm. And I remember many people were like, how are you going to beat Hilal's story? You guys remember?
So many people said that.
How are you guys going to top Hilal's story?
Why did you guys do this to yourself?
Yeah,
was the question.
Yeah, that was it. And we're like, no, we're here to tell as much stories as possible. Yeah. They don't want to actually compete with each other. They're, every story speaks to someone. And that's exactly what they did. And I'll never forget, like, hearing sisters come up to us or send messages saying that Muddy and Story meant something to them because they were also dealing with an illness, you know, or a chronic pain. Or people were talking about how they were on a Quran journey just like Hilal was. Or there were other women coming up to me saying how much they resonated with Lena Ahmed's story about Sabrina's beauty. Yeah. And saying how, like, I felt what she was talking about. Or how many, oh my God, when I was at the conference, so many people talked about, like, when the Cali found true love, how much they loved her transparency and her honesty about it. And then, oh my God, there was just so many people loving everything. There was not a space, nobody, oh my God, especially me being shocked that people loved my story. I was shocked. I was like, me? Out of everyone? They said, yeah, because, like, when you talked about, like, learning Deen at an older age, you know, and feeling that shame. And I was like, I will never forget the first message we ever got from a sister. Was a sister that listened to Hilal's episode. And she had messaged Hilal that her episode saved her life. And I was like, I was confused when Hilal told me. I was like, what does that mean? She goes, apparently sister was going through a really tough time and she was contemplating ending her life. And then something, so a friend of hers sent her Hilal's episode. And she said to herself, Qadr Allah, let me just listen. Maybe this might help me. And she said, when she listened, she immediately messaged Hilal saying, Hilal, your episode literally saved my life. And I was like, and I'm sitting there, and by the way, you know where we were, when Hilal told me this, we're heading to the studio. And I'm looking at the window, and Hilal's looking out the window, we're both confused, and we're shocked, and then Hilal goes to me like this, she says, this is a huge responsibility, Adar. And I said, I know, she goes, this is a huge, huge responsibility. And I said, why? She goes, you can't stop. If you're getting this on the gate out, we none of us can stop. Like, it just can't be something we did for fun anymore. This has to be something that we put forward above ourselves. Like, it's something that we say, oh, we're doing this for Allah's sake, so we make this a priority, you know? Just as we make everything a priority, you know, that has to do with Allah. And I remember thinking, oh my God, like, I always carried that. I was like, okay, I hope this episode, I always think intentionally, I hope this episode saves someone's life. I know it sounds so dramatic, but that because I saw it, somebody telling me that, I was like, okay, I hope this story saves somebody. You know, from something, you know, or it has them thinking differently. And I know it was doing that. Like, and then the second time where I felt a manifestation of sisterhood was obviously when I came to Minnesota in two different tiers. One by the hospitality of sisters that found us, that took us out every, I don't think I paid for a sugar bowl. Like, I think I paid for two bowls. Like, the whole time, every day, somebody was taking us somewhere. And then obviously the conference was wild because obviously we do the work. We don't really see, like, we hear, like, the comments and, like, the messages and maybe the views when you get the analytics. But to see it in body form and human form is a little wild. Imagine going to a conference. I'm looking at everyone. I'm like, oh, everyone's here for the conference. And then when we went on the Q&A and then we left and then we went to another room and then we had to move to a bigger room.
Because we stole everybody.
Because we stole. And then the host was saying, where's the audience? Where'd the audience go? And then somebody had to tell us, guys, we gotta wrap this up because there's nobody in the auditorium. Everyone's here. And I died of laughter. I was like, oh my God, this is subhanAllah. And obviously I got very emotional. I got very overwhelmed because I was like, you know, like I've always wanted to be a part of good. And to see it to that level was, it took me back, you know? Even to see people that I was speaking to privately in the DMs. Be in person, you know? I could see them. Just like I saw Muna, you know, at the airport. It was like, yo, I felt the sisterhood. It's one thing to hear it, and I know. But when I went on the microphone, and I'm on the stage, and I said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, to see people's face go, like shocked. Because they're like, oh my God, she really in front of us? Like, I was pulled back by their reaction. I was like, why are they moving weird? Like, why are they, you know? But I realized it's because, like, these people really listen? I've been shocked. They listen to me regularly. And that's when I was like, oh my God, there is real bodies. These things that we're doing actually reach people. And now we get to see them. And I feel like I enjoyed being with them, touching them, hugging them. Talking to them, knowing their names, like following them on Instagram. I was like, wow, Minnesota is like, feels like home.
Aww,
you know? And part of our TDS team lives here, you know? So this is half our headquarters, you know? And so they came out, you know what I'm saying? And so I cannot wait to meet more of them. And they, you know, some of us took us aside, told us their stories. I was like, sis, this is crazy. And they're like, no, this is what resonated. And I just want to give a shout out to the guests. Yo, I know the guests are listening to this episode, right? When I tell you, everybody was name dropping you guys as Marian, I loved Marian, or FaZe's episode, or Halima's episode, Asma's episode, and that, oh my God, Village I was Aunt. Like,
I cannot believe I worked with Village Auntie.
I know.
Fangirling over here.
And you know what's so funny? Because I did her episode on my birthday.
SubhanAllah.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. I was like, exactly. Oh my God, look at me doing what I love to do, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a remarkable situation, and it's just, there, it's only up from here, and I can't wait to do this more, to go to city, yo. Like, if you guys are out there, you guys want us to pull up, let us know. We are ready.
People need you in London, San Diego.
I know. I saw the tweets.
I saw the tweets.
I saw South Africa. I said, oh, don't get me excited.
I need to see the plane tickets. Well,
mashallah, Minnesota paid for all of our plane tickets. They didn't even leave any of us behind. And shout out to them because they started this. So if this goes any further, you know, Minnesota deserves their accolades because they are the ones that said they deserve this. And they deserve,
we got to shout out Samaya for that.
Also, shout out to Samaya. Shout out to the masjid.
Last thoughts.
This episode is brought to you by Be
Last reflections.
You've watched this from there.
Oh, I have a question. Actually, we can bounce off of this last reflection. What do we hope to see TDS do in the future? Like, since we started the podcast with intention, let's make an intention. Like, what do we want to do and see for TDS in the future?
Speak it into the mic.
Yeah, speak it into the mic, man.
I want TDS to help change sisterhood worldwide. I want us to be a vehicle for healing sisterhood, for redefining sisterhood, for really connecting Muslim women worldwide, no matter what language you speak, no matter where you are in the world, no matter what your circumstances are. This is very, like, years, maybe Allah knows, like, but in my head right now, it's years and years away. But if TDS could even just be the spark that really allows Muslim women to connect with each other, to learn from each other, to support each other, to live with each other in that peace and harmony and compassion, really. People have always spoken about, How where are our men? And our men can change our ummah. I believe, like, our women can change it first.
Mm.
I believe that TDS can help do that.
Simultaneously. I mean, the men can support us.
I mean, they have been. And they have been. Shout out to the brothers, because there are brothers.
Shout out to the brothers, truly.
There are brothers, mashallah, that are literally supporting us.
But when we step up and we level up, you know, they're going to have to keep up and keep pace.
Inshallah. Inshallah.
I want TDS to be certified global.
Okay.
Certified worldwide.
Yes.
Inshallah.
Making big bank.
Yeah. Inshallah. And I want us to be able to not only, like, we already kind of global already, but having more people share their stories, I feel like that is so important for us Muslim women.
Need to hear
now.
Some accents next season.
Yes. Yep. Some accents.
In different languages too, in Somali, in Arabic, in different languages.
Urdu. French.
Yeah.
French. Yes. And you know, we have French listeners.
I love our French fans.
Oh my God. They're so dope.
They come through.
And the sisters from Nigeria.
Yeah.
They're lit.
Uzbekistan.
Yo, all the countries, man. We're going to post, inshallah, the analytics. But that was one of the most beautiful things, to see all these lights in different countries that I've never been to, that I never even knew there was listeners and Muslims there. It's like we're slowly lighting up the globe. And one day I pray that we can fill it with light as much as possible.
In the remembrance of Allah,
absolutely.
There was like islands that we don't even know about. Yeah. And there was like little circles there. Like,
it became Mahami. Oh,
zoom it. No, no. You know which one that shook me?
Yeah.
Honolulu. Who's in Honolulu?
Hawaii.
I want them to invite us. Honolulu. When I saw it lit up, I was shook.
Yeah.
I said, who is in Honolulu? And who's on vacation? Yeah. I thought it was somebody on vacation. Then weeks later, they're still there. The light is still lit up there. So I'm like, okay, there's clearly someone that lives in Honolulu.
Somebody listens.
That listens to TDS. Because I thought somebody on vacation.
Because
we be knowing people's business. People vacationing everywhere, right? Because we be seeing a random. And then we realize it's not random. There are people living there and listening to TDS. And I was just like, oh my God, this is so intense. You know what I'm saying? But I'm so grateful, and it's all from Allah. Because let me tell you something. You can give nasiha. You can give advice to somebody, but it's not guaranteed it's going to reach their hearts. What allows something to reach somebody's heart, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is definite. This podcast has reached where it has needed to reach because Allah allowed it to spread and made sure that it entered every heart. Because that is Allah. I'm not taking any credit. I'm not that charming. I'm not that charismatic. I'm not that funny. Nope. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you are.
I mean, I am. You know what I'm saying?
But even if she was, she couldn't do it without Allah.
Yeah, well, she could. I could not do without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah. And none of us could have done without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So,
you
with
hear
that.
Mine?
Ooh, yes.
I think we first connected because I saw your vision for film. Mm. And my plan, inshallah, Beautiful Light Studios, to become a film production company. And one day, TDS is also going to work together on a film.
For the first time, I could be part of a film?
Ooh.
Oh my God, that is going to be lit.
Visuals.
Because I feel like right now, I'm just doing a part of what I like, but I can't wait to do the thing that I originally
truly
saw myself doing.
There's a couple of shows that we're talking about.
Yeah.
That I it's going to come out, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Bismillah. As you guys do it best. The best the TDS fans is make the best du'as.
Yeah, they
make
do.
That's the only way we're going to go. Inshallah. Make Allah. Allah make everything. There's so many people who supported me. Allah accept their sadaqah from them and make a sadaqah jariyah, something that lights up your grave and is always with you. And is may Allah, you know, hadith of al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba yawm al-qiyamah. So you are with whom you love. Mm. So since we all are sharing this love together and we felt it in many different ways, may Allah allow us all to be together, inshallah.
Ameen.
Ada, what's yours?
Wow, I feel like it's changed so much. Mm. I feel like Allah is pushing me to dream bigger every day. It's like he's showing me. He's like, you doubted me. Look, keep dreaming bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think that's something everyone keeps looking at me like, I thought you were thinking too, like, think, but it's because I never thought I could, you know? And so TDS, what I dream for it is that it becomes a main stage. I don't want TDS to be a side stage no more. I want it to be a force to be reckoned with. And I hope that it changes the narrative about how Muslims are seen on this planet. We are main characters. We are resilient. We are strong. We are intelligent. Yes. We are storytellers. We are compassionate. We are Muslims. We are Muslims and we are chosen.
And we are the history of this world.
And we are the history and we are the end. Mm. And we are, inshallah, are going to be the people that Allah raised in ranks for it. Mm. And I pray that TDS becomes a reminder to everyone of what it really is. And it literally invokes in Allah. It literally says Allahu Akbar. Like, it's a thing that always invokes in Allah. It says, and that's the promise I made with Allah. And I'm going to keep it. You know that no matter where I go, if I'm on a main stage with all of these incredible people, that I will always praise Allah. And I will say, we are here because he brought us here. And this is a message we're here to relay. You know, that our Lord is one. You know, and that he is compassionate and he is merciful. And he is the King of all kings. And he is the beginning and he is everything, you know. And he is who we're going to return to. And we are no longer side characters. We always have been the reason why, you know, and we're here to facilitate that. And that's it. And we're doing it without any fear. No more fear.
No more,
no more fear.
No
I'm
more
done
hiding.
With, I'm done with the imposter syndrome. I'm done with the fear.
Yes.
And I want us to be literally an example. And when we get there, inshallah, we will. Like on a big stage, people are going to say
it's a reawakening.
It's an awakening. It's going to be, and I know it sounds so wild to say it on a podcast, so just like, you know, but I really mean it. Who are we? You know, but
we're servants of Allah. That's what we who we are.
We're here.
That's it, man.
That's it.
Season one.
Wow, season one is done.
So I know there's live audience here. Jazakallah khair for coming, you guys, and listening. You guys listened to 4 hours.
We
of audio
you.
And you sat here and I'm shocked you guys are not tired.
Not even?
Not at all?
Not even a little bit.
Oh my God. Yeah. Nobody? Oh, nobody's exhausted?
I can sit.
And we're on a roller coaster.
We have the perfect ending right now, I believe.
Oh my God. Yes, we do.
Special
one
guest.
Of our favorite people in Minnesota that we have met.
That we met here, by the way.
Yeah.
And she has the most incredible personality. And I remember when we came, she recited the Quran. And she obviously officially became my favorite Quran reciter. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, Su'ad, please come to the stage.
Please come to the stage.
Please come to the stage, sister. Su'ad. Sister, come to the stage. You know?
Su'ad is quite literally an example of what we are hoping to see from young Muslim youth.
Yes!
She is an incredibly charismatic, sweet, and kind 15-year-old girl. We have to hype her up.
She is so funny.
And she has read Quran for us everywhere on this trip. And we love her a lot.
And so let me tell you before, and so add it now, mashallah, she has a mic and you can respond.
So now you're shocked what this sounds like on the back end, right? Her jaw is dropping.
So add the first, after we heard her reciting in the end, she, before she came up to me to tell me she's a big fan of TDS, I came up to her, I said, I'm a fan of you. Could I take a picture with you? Do you remember?
Oh my.
I took a picture with you and you looked at me in shock. You said, why are you taking a picture with me? I said, sister, do you know who you are? Did you see what you just did?
Bring yourself close to the mic.
Yeah, I need to take a picture with you. And I took a picture. You were appalled by my behavior. And you let me know you were appalled. And then I just saw that just the charismatic and funniness about you and the beautiful, like, your recitation is incredible. And I asked you, can you come on our final episode to recite Quran? Because what a better way to end than, what's better than Allah's words to close our season? So... I know Safiya has a few ayahs she gave to you. She's going to give to you right now. And then we'll have Safiya read the English translation, inshallah. So, Su'ad, say assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Not you trying to mock me. Oh my God, Su'ad, how do you feel? There's a microphone in your face. Well, you always have microphones in your face.
If someone told me that I'd be here with the Digital Sisterhood last week, I would tell them, you're lying. You're lying.
You were telling me earlier that you've been walking around different this week at home. Why?
My ego.
Subhanallah.
I'm humbling myself now, inshallah, but I don't know. It's just that I never imagined this.
Yeah.
Oh, we love you so much, Su'ad.
Su'ad, I thank you for being a listener. Thank you for listening.
I got you.
Su'ad, bismillah. I'm excited for the world to hear your recitation. So, Safiya is going to pass you.
Just these two ayahs.
These two ayahs. And then, Safiya, you'll be doing translation, inshallah. All right, bismillah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. واذكرن ما يتلى في بيوتكن من آيات الله والحكمة إن الله كان لطيفا خبيرا إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
Always remember what is recited in your homes of Allah's revelation and prophetic wisdom. Surely Allah is most subtle, all aware. Surely, for Muslim men and women, believing men and women, devout men and women, truthful men and women, patient men and women, humble men and women, charitable men and women, fasting men and women who guard their chastity, and men and women who remember Allah often. For all of them, Allah has prepared forgiveness and a great reward.
This episode was brought to you by Beautiful Light Studios. I'd love to give a shout out to Mona Sheikh Omar for producing this episode. I also love to give a shout out to Saad for that beautiful recitation.
And we'd like to make dua for Saad. I'm hoping, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, may Allah allow you to recite like that in a few years in the Dubai competition and win. Whoa. That's my dream for you.
May Allah make it a reality. Ameen. I also love to give a shout out to Minnesota for being so hospitable to all the TDS listeners that I've met and that welcomed us with open arms. Barakallah fiqh. You guys have made our trip extremely memorable. You are part of our journey and story, and we love you oh so very much. I love to also give a shout out to Masjid Abu Bakr and Sister Sumaya for bringing us here and setting the tone of how we should come and present and just share our message. So jazakallah khair for seeing the value and the importance of our work. It is so important. So jazakallah khair. I also love to give a shout out to all of my live audience that are sitting right in front of me. Thank you guys for coming and listening for 4 hours. MashaAllah, tabarakallah. That is incredible. And it means so much to us. I'd also love to give a shout out to Nomadic Hustle for letting us use his studio space. Allahumma barak, he is incredible for letting other content creators come and use his space. Jazakallah khair for allowing us to work here and use it. And it just means so much to us. It's just incredible. So jazakallah khair to Nomadic Hustle. If you don't know who he is, you definitely need to know who he is. His podcast is incredible. So yeah, definitely check it out. And yeah, and that's a wrap of season 1. I will see you guys next week, inshallah, for our last and final part of the season. Thank you for listening. And I will see you guys next week in your ear, in your speaker, telling you a good story. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.